the Millionaire Imprint for Women. This new radio show is about imprinting wealth for women, inspiring women of all ages to heal their karmic debts, to transcend the shame of poverty consciousness that women have lived with for centuries. It's time for women, for you, to have a new relationship with money, to radiate wealth from the inside out. We are creating a ripple effect, empowering millions of women to claim their inner wealth. Join Susan, Samantha, Momo, and Cornelia Fridays from 1 to 2 on The Cornelia Stephanie Show at Transformation Talk Radio. Are you in? Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, The Millionaire Imprint for Women. I'm with Momo Yasutake, and we are here today to activate your inner goddess so that you can get aligned and let the cosmos do all the heavy lifting for you, right? That's what we're here to talk about today. But first, Momo, I want to say, I just want to thank you so much for your amazing, generous heart of bringing this incredible wisdom that you've shared with us over the last few months, which when we began the Millionaire Imprint for Women. And I want people to go to your website. Let's tell them where to go.
It's at it's my full name, Momo Yasutake, YASUTAKE.com. And Momo, that's M-O-M-O.
Yes. And that's where you're going to find all the shows, the past shows that we did together on the Millionaire Imprint. And I just want to say that we've done so much up-leveling. We've done so much clearing. We've offered so many practical tools over these last 2 months for each other and for the collective. Practical tools that will really help you shift that inner millionaire, that inner abundance, so that you can be aligned, like Momo says, and let the cosmos do that heavy lifting for you. There's so many tools, so many practical tools. And I just want to thank you, Momo, for saying yes to this and saying yes to your generous heart, because not only did you come and bring your time, you brought the value of your wisdom, and you made a financial contribution to be part of this team, and so that you can share your message with the world. And I am so grateful for you and so thankful for all that we've done together and that we've created. And I know there's going to be continuous ripple effect of everything that we've done together. Thank you.
Absolutely, right back at you. All those words, all that love, right back at you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I really, truly feel like we all found our voice in ourselves on a whole nother level working together. So thank you for creating that space for us, Cornelia. Really, mm-hmm. truly.
Thank you. Yes. So today we're gonna have another fantastic segment of getting out of Victimville. Getting out of Victimville and becoming the empowered creator that we really are. Right. So that's the first topic that we're discussing. That's the segment that you want to bring on. So tell us about that. Tell us about when you found.
Let's see. So a lot of people, you know, victim has its own stigma. It sounds kind of, it just doesn't sound very good. Doesn't feel powerful. Doesn't sound good. It sounds kind of weak. Kind of. I don't know, just bad. There's just a bad stigma to it, right? And I think a lot of us in different parts of our lives have this, it's just an energy. It's just an energy and a mindset and a perspective that I feel like a lot of us have on different subtle levels in depending on what part of your life that you're looking at, right? And then when people are fully immersed in this victimhood in every part of their life, and that's just where they kind of stay all the time, that's like another thing. And that's a little bit deeper work, and it might be hard. You might feel stuck in that and almost impossible to get yourself out. I know I just wanted to go in and kind of give an example of that in my personal story when I was kind of deep in it, deep in the, you know, if you know what I mean, like just so deep that, I didn't even see it myself. That's the biggest thing that I noticed with most people who are perpetuating that are in that space. They don't notice that that's where they are. that's become their, or their like ground zero, that's become their norm. So where I was with that is, and this was, it was diagnosed with lupus about almost 9 years ago. Wow. Which I've conquered now, by the way.
Yeah, but, you healed yourself from that.
Absolutely, I did.
You're the healer. You're the
yourself. Absolutely. I claimed my power in that.
Yes, you did.
But what happened there was, even before I had gotten sick and had manifested as lupus, I was living in this place of victimhood. Not consciously, but I was. And once I had gotten sick, that was my personal wake-up call. But even then, I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. I didn't realize that that's where I had brought myself and kept myself. And I think it was a psychologist or psychotherapist that I was working with at the time who had sort of mentioned that. And this is what most people do when they are in that space. They defend it, right? They're like, well, I have a reason. It's legitimate. You know, this is what's happened to me. This is the circumstances. I am a victim. So what most people do is kind of defend their victimhood, like a badge of honor.
That's true.
And they kind of speak in what we call woundology, is a term that I came across. I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm doing. Which was, we speak and connect with people through our wounds, through the areas that we're hurt, right? We feel connection, we feel compassion when we feel that hurt. Someone understands how we feel. Someone feels hurt the way that we do. They're a victim like us, right? The scary thing about that is when you get stuck there, your stories around that become so solid, it doesn't matter what anyone says, you're going to stay in that just for that connection. So that's the danger. Because it perpetuates it.
Because you want to keep that connection going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I was doing that at one point, and I had somehow come across, not somehow, the cosmos guided me to a book that gave me that knowledge of this woundology habit. And I realized, oh my God, I do that in a way that I didn't realize. And my psychologist had mentioned there's a little bit of victimhood energy there. And, at first I defended it obviously. And it was like, no, I have a good reason. I'm sick. You know, do you know, which you obviously knew. But what happened there, just from planting that seed that might've been what I've been perpetuating, I started to realize that wasn't actually helping me. It wasn't making my situation better. Being in victimhood didn't help me. It didn't make me feel better. It didn't make me feel like I was growing, healing, expanding, nothing in the positive realm. And so I started to question the place that I was in. I was like, wait, maybe it's not the most amazing place to be. Maybe. So the biggest thing that I realized was I had to sit there and ask myself why it was safer, why it was more comfortable, why I chose to stay here rather than get out of it. And it took a while to get to that realization that I have a say in that, right? Because when you're a victim, you feel like everything is happening to you and not for you. And then I started questioning this space that I was in. And I started shifting into asking the questions and kind of chipping away at my old ways and with the space that I was in. And eventually what happened was I started to realize, oh, the biggest core thing for me was it felt safer to be in victimhood because then I didn't have to be responsible for my life. I didn't have to be responsible for my circumstances. I didn't have to be responsible for everything that was happening around me and to me. So a big, big piece for me was not the sphere of taking responsibility for my life. And because I didn't enjoy, it almost devastated me what my life looked like.
Wow.
And so to take part and own that I was a part of creating it was too much. I couldn't, because how could I create this for myself? Like, what twisted mind do I have to have to create this for myself? And so I couldn't accept it. But after getting sick, it was more and more clear that that was there. And I was determined to do anything to shift that. And so when my therapist had pointed out that that was a thing that I had, one of my big goals or intentions was to identify all my patterns. identify my programs and my stories and my patterns, and somehow shift them, because that must have been the reason why I got to where I got to, right? Somehow that I could believe, that I could get behind. So that's my personal story.
I love that. You know, I found that as part of being a victim, you know, we've been habitually playing the victim role, you know, in so many different areas, and we're always waiting for someone to come in and save the day. Mm-hmm. Come in and save us, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, like you said, you were in the victim state and you were like, well, I don't really see the benefit for me being here. Nobody's coming to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's coming. The situation isn't getting any better. Like you said, it wasn't happening on a positive scale where something was changing in your life. It's like, oh, you could just keep talking with the other people that were also toxic and that were also sick, and they were also, and everybody's in the same boat, right? Yep. And we're all waiting for someone to come in and save the day when the savior is really already here.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. The savior is here, and the savior is in you.
Right. Absolutely. And so, yeah, exactly it, where there comes a point where you have to get so sick of it. Just get so sick of where you're at and the situation that you're at, and just like kind of stew in it enough to be like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. I need to get out of here. You just kind of have to push yourself to that edge to be like, all right, something has to change. Yeah. And then once you make that decision, where you're 100%, your energy is 100% behind it, something shifts and things start to open up.
Yeah. And I think that's a really powerful key right there, is to bring the awareness that you are a victim. You are acting like a victim, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're acting like a victim. That's okay. But now you're going to pull yourself out and you are moving back into alignment, becoming mm-hmm. an empowered creator, so that you can again line up with what's true mm-hmm. and start shifting your reality. When we come back from break, Momo, I want to talk about victim and financial victimhood. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
We're back. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, the Millionaire Imprint for Women. I love saying that. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how to get out of victimville and move into being empowered creators. Mm-hmm. And before we went to break, Momo and I were talking about how to, when you find yourself in being a victim because of your financial circumstance. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, Momo.
So it's very similar. I realize when you're in victimville, it doesn't matter what part of your life it is that you're focusing on, the core beliefs that are keeping you in resistance and keeping you in a kind of a tight hold is the same. So for me, by that I mean for me and my finances, as well as when I was sick, a part of me felt that I didn't get the nourishment and support from my parents the way I wanted and needed growing up. And so part of getting sick was wanting to be taken care of, because when I was sick, the way that they loved on me and cared for me was a very particular way. And so that's what I craved, not consciously, but subconsciously, that's what I was craving. And so on the financial level, it was very similar. It translated, meaning for a long time, I was supported by my parents. And there was a lot of shame in that, right? Because I felt like, you know, I'm old enough, I should do whatever, I should be independent now, all these things. Granted, I had the crutch of the sickness to be like, well, I'm a little behind from everyone else because I had to kind of take a leave from life to cure myself. Mm-hmm. So I gave myself that. But even within that, there was some shame in that. And it all came from this needing to be taken care of. Somehow being taken care of fully in the way that my parents did when I was sick was the way that I needed to be taken care of and supported. That was my way of feeling like I was loved, that I was getting the love and support that I needed. And so finances, it was the same thing. It was with my father. But he, you know, would always say, whatever you need, anything that you need, just don't think about money, which is sticky when it comes to belief. I definitely bought into that, but don't think about it. Money, it's not about the money. Just if, you know, your health is first, your well-being is a priority. That part I feel like I agree with, but not thinking about money, as harmless as that sounds, was working against me, right? It's almost like the more attention and focus you put on something, the more it grows. If you don't put any attention, if you disregard finances and money, how is that going to grow? If you don't feed it with love and nurture and focus and attention, how is that supposed to grow for you? And so that was something I bought into. But it worked for me because I thought, you know, if I don't look at it and if I ask for my dad's help, he will help me and I will get that love. He's going to love me the way that I need him to love me. And not that money was a, you know, representative of love, but it was intertwined, right? And it also intertwined with the not wanting to take responsibility.
And it was intertwined with you being a victim instead of an empowered creator, being sustainable and taking care of your own self so that you can always, again, feel like that, okay, you know, because you healed yourself from your sickness, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to say something about when you said, I took, you know, a leave of absence from life. actually, that was a full-time job. You know, be nice actually if you got paid for it.
Absolutely.
You know, wouldn't that have been nice to have
gotten paid for it?
You know, it's like you took a leave of absence from life, but hey, you know, healing, it's like you had to heal. You had to become your own healer, your own scientist, mm-hmm. your own, you had to figure all this stuff out and really bring your body mm-hmm. into, you know, trust, into this place of trusting where it is that you were going. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, it was all tied to the financial piece. being a victim, being taken care of, being nourished. And when it all comes down to is really us sustaining ourselves, healing ourselves, having our own money, having our own foundations, being able to take care of ourselves without the conditions from the past that we were born into, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it does all come down to, again, that self-love, loving yourself enough to know that you've got your own back, that you can take care of yourself, that you can love on yourself, and that's okay. Loving on yourself doesn't mean you're not going to be loved by others. You know, doesn't mean that you're not going to be supported by others. If you're independent and can do it yourself, doesn't mean everyone else isn't going to love and support you.
Yeah.
For a long time, there was a conflict there for me. So
how did you get out of the financial victimhood?
Yeah. So I had to identify a lot of beliefs and just thought patterns that I had created around money. First of all, I did not realize how much fear I had around money. Just even looking at my finances and seeing the breakdown of how much I was bringing in versus how much I was using. These are simple. It's just math. It's nothing complicated, really. But even just looking at the sheet, I would like seize up. Like, I just didn't even want to look at it. I felt terrible. I felt shame. I felt all the emotions of not being good enough come up and just like explode in my face. And so I just wouldn't, you know, do that. Oh, money doesn't matter. So I kind of put it under the rug. And this is exactly what I want to talk about, actually, is there's a difference between disengaging with a negative or, you know, unaligned thought pattern and ignoring it. Talk about, you know, your focus and the intention is where everything goes, where your attention goes, your energy flows. And so we think, okay, well, we just don't think about it and all is well. But actually ignoring it doesn't change the fact that there a part of you is thinking about it or worrying about it. It's about where your energy is. So I love this example of one of my coaches that I work with, Gabe, where she talks about if you have a water bottle in your hand, and, you know, let's say it's a toxic water bottle. It doesn't serve you, right? So it's a water bottle. And when you're told, don't think about it, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the water bottle. No matter how much you say, I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to think about it, you're still thinking about that water bottle in your hand. So you can look the other way, but it doesn't change the fact that the water bottle is still in your hand. So that's ignoring, right? But when you're disengaging, what you do is you let go of that water bottle. And it's now dropped to the floor. Now you're no longer thinking about it because it's no longer in your hand. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between disengaging versus ignoring. And for me, when I heard that, I thought, oh, that makes complete sense. And it's a subtle distinction, but it's a really big distinction. And what helps with that is the awareness that you have of your own thoughts. When you have monkey mind, it's almost impossible to slow your mind down, like to see the thoughts that are dictating your mind and controlling your behaviors. But when it calms down and there's enough space and room to see the thoughts coming in and out, then you can start playing with them, noticing them, and deciding if you want to put attention to them or not. You get to disengage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I can't remember. Is it Melissa Gilbert that wrote that quote and said, choose your thoughts like you choose your clothes? You know, isn't that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like you choose your clothes. It's like, okay, because you want to put on your favorites. You want to put on your sexies. You want to put on your comfies and choose your thoughts that, you know, that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Choose your thoughts that bring you into harmony, right? Instead of the negativity. And you get to choose it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think a lot of people don't think they have a choice. They don't even know that the choice exists. I think that's a lot of they almost feel like they don't have the right or they don't deserve. There's a self-worth thing there. Again, everything comes back to self-love, but you have to love yourself enough to give yourself the opportunity to choose the feel, the thought, the belief that makes you feel better. So you have to choose the better feeling thought. You have to give yourself permission to do that. It's okay for you to feel good, which sounds silly, I know. But a lot of people like aren't living in this place coming from joy. They're for whatever reason, joy and bliss and feeling good is secondary. It's put on the like on the back end for whatever reason why, almost like there's things that have to happen. There's a reality happening now. There's bills that need to be paid. And therefore it's so serious, right? And therefore it's not okay to have fun. It's not okay to feel good. And it's just like, that's so backwards.
And let's feel guilty. And let's
it's so backwards. Like why do we want those bills paid? Why do we want all the things that we want? We want it because we want to feel good, right? But for whatever reason why, we're cutting, like we're kind of going at it backwards. We're going through the hardships and then hopefully by the end of it, maybe we'll feel good. It's like, that's not even guaranteed. And right. Why would you go through the hardship?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Hopefully at the end of it, I think, you know, that's, you know, our collective humanity operates from that place of the lack of joy, the lack of joy in their life, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the part that we're educating people on, that let's be in joy through the journey, not when we get there.
Absolutely. And that's perfect, because the next part that I want us to talk about is exactly that. The biggest piece is the journey. The journey is all we have. This moment is all we have. And if there's no joy in that, in a sense, you're depriving yourself of the joy that you think you're going to get at the end of the road. Right. Mm-hmm. So why deprive yourself? Why can't you give it to yourself now? Mm-hmm. And that requires a lot of self-love, loving yourself enough to be able to give that to yourself now. Have that cake now. Don't wait till the end of dinner. Have it now.
Because what if you're not here tomorrow?
Exactly. It's every moment is, you just, it's not guaranteed.
Right. Yeah.
It's just not guaranteed.
The more that we choose, the more that we continuously choose our favorites, our coffees, feeling good, leaving Victorville, Victimville, not Victorville. We're going into Victorville.
Exactly. Whoever he is.
Yeah, leaving and going there, right? And so that's the whole point, and having fun in the journey and doing it. And so in retiring is what I like to say. Retiring.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Retiring.
The victim.
Yes.
Retire the victim. Rewrite the story of your life so that, you know, the wounded child and the victim and the addict are no longer playing parts in your movie, right? That you are there. They're all retired. They're all done, because you're directing a new cast. You're directing the whole new set.
Absolutely. They've done their part.
Yeah.
They worked hard enough. Let them go.
Definitely need a good pension.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
They're going to get paid well. We're going to make sure of it.
Yes, so. They'll be fine. They're taken care of.
I love that we're talking about releasing the victim, moving into alignment, and allowing the cosmos to do the heavy lifting for us, because that's also part of it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be engaged. It means that we're just going to be directing the flow. Wouldn't
Absolutely.
You say?
Absolutely.
So let's take another break, Momo, and we'll be right back. And then we'll continue on with our fabulous discussion. We'll be right back on the Cornelia Stephanie Show.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it, and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change. That you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money. And I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on transformationtalkradio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
So on break, we were talking, Momo and I were talking, because she's getting ready to move to Bali in 8 days.
Yay.
And Tony is setting up her footprint, her blueprint, her life according to dancing to the beat of her own drum and how she wants to live. And moving to Bali was one of her core values and what she was aligned with. And she's getting ready to do it. And she was just telling me on the break how everything is just so easily falling right into place.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of that has to do with embodying the abundance and embodying source energy, cosmos, just allowing it to flow through me instead of, you know, working against it or trying to force anything or efforting so much. I've sort of given up that way of being. Although obviously it's a forever practice. I swing in and out of that, obviously, just like everyone else. But the biggest piece, the last couple of months, the biggest piece that really revealed itself to me was this joy in the process. So by process, I mean the process of learning, right? So I love the analogy of someone used to say, it's one of the coaches I follow so many people, but one of them had said, you know, you have to get used to being in the crack because you're always going to live in the crack. And I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? And what she was talking about was, you know, you're in this moment, your reality now, which again is your past. It's already manifested. It's history. And then there's a place that you want to get to. But you're not, in every moment, you're stepping closer and closer to where you want to get to, meaning you're in the in-between of where you are and where you want to be. And then let's say, you know, you're going on your journey, and lo and behold, you're at the place that you want to be. And then what happens after that? Are you done? Are you, you know, so blissed out, you're like, okay, I'm done with life. I'm going to retire. No. What happens is it's our human nature to want to keep growing, wanting more, want to expand more, our consciousness, everything wants to grow and keep growing. And that's what's so beautiful about being human is it's our nature. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. So once you get there, now you have a new destination that you want to be at. And then you just keep trekking through that. So no matter where you end up, where you are, you're always on the journey to more. So there is no destination, just from where to where you want to be. And, you know, she was talking about that as the crack. You're always going to be in the in-between. Always, always, always. Mm-hmm. And so if you're always going to be there and that's going to be your whole life, might as well get used to it. Like, might as well get used to being in the in-between where there's something to look forward to, something that you want more of, the desire that you have. Desires are blessings. Without the desire, my God, how boring life would be. The learning process. So finding the joy in the learning comes from, so this was all coming together for me, and it came from a book that I love and still am finishing. It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. mindset, The New Psychology of Success, How We Can Learn to Fulfill Our Potential. And in this book, she talks about the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. Mm-hmm. And so, and this doesn't mean you're always one or the other. Depending on what area of the life you're talking about, it can be, you know, meshed. You might be 70% growth and 30% fixed, right? And actually, she has a little like a questionnaire. It's a really quick one, like 4 or 5 questions, which tells you if you're a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. And you can do it specifically for your life, or you can do it like get really specific on what category or what part of your life that you have this like balance of growth or fixed mindset.
I have a request.
Yeah.
When you come back to, when we do our last show, you know, next week with, is it next week? Whenever, whenever that is.
Yeah, I think it's next week.
With this team, not the last. Uh-huh. Not the last. Uh-huh. Bring that into the segment where for the, ask the questions for the mindset.
Oh, absolutely. That would be so much fun. Yeah, just to see like which mindset you are.
Totally.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. People. So yeah, continue. Absolutely.
So there's the two mindsets. The fixed mindset, they say, is so the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. And with that, believing that your qualities are carved in stone is the definition of the fixed mindset. It creates an urgency to prove yourself over and over. So what this does is if you have only a certain amount of intelligence, a certain personality, and a certain moral character, well then, you better prove that you have a healthy dose of them. It simply wouldn't look or feel deficient in these most basic characteristics. So that's the fixed mindset, how that operates. So you're not going to challenge yourself. You don't find any joy in learning because what if you fail? Mm-hmm. It's all about what you can prove to prove the limited amount of intelligence or good character that you possess, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the way they operate. And then the growth mindset is this growth mindset is based on the belief that your basic qualities are things you can cultivate through your efforts, your strategies, and help from others. So these people actually believe that your intelligence and your characters aren't fixed. They can change and they're shiftable depending on how you approach it. And so they're personality is to want that challenge because that creates growth. And to them, success isn't a result. Success is growth. Growth mm-hmm. equals success. So mm-hmm. learning is equivalent to success. So that really stuck with me because I realized even within myself, and I've always loved learning. I always tell people if I could be a student forever, when I was in university, I'd be like, if I could do this and just get paid, I would do this for the rest of my life. I wouldn't do anything else. And I now see myself as a student of the cosmos. So it's, you know, I did that wish was granted. But what I realized is I still had parts of me where there was so much that I was, you know, wisdom that I've come with and so much growing that I've done through healing myself that I felt that I was well established in a lot of places, more than most people my age. And so when I was in Bali, I was challenged with a lot of things that was new to me, that I didn't know, that I didn't understand fully. Even just the business side and the marketing side is completely foreign to me. Not anymore, but at one point it was. And so I had met a lot of people who had mastered it, who was very good at that and the finances and all that stuff. And when they would give me advice or talk about stuff, I could see myself kind of pulling myself back and not sharing or even asking or even acknowledging that I didn't know that. It's like a part of me is scared that they would know that I didn't know that. Like I was somehow, you know, like I didn't want that. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what is that? I've never felt that way before. But it's because I was with people that were, not that they were higher in level, but they had grown more and learned more in that era than I had, right? And so I saw myself doing that. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then one of my great, great, my soul brothers, I love him to death. He has this amazing attitude where he has no ego, where he just like, if I can learn, I don't care how old you are. He's around my age, but he was like talking to someone who was like 10 years younger. I don't care how old you are. If there's something that you're doing amazingly, I want to learn from you. Just tell me what you're doing. That's so cool. That's his attitude towards everything. He's like a sponge and he has so much joy in doing it. And so watching that, I realized, oh my God, there was a time in my life where I was like that. And actually, I like reveled in that. I forgot about that. And so I've been challenging myself to become that expert novice. It's hard to be a beginner again. It's hard to be someone that's learning from someone else when you can get established in a certain part of your life, right? Or you feel like you've learned a lot in a short amount of time in a part of your life. But when you can really focus on becoming an expert at being a beginner, expert at being a learner, an expert at being a grower, and your success is measured in growth and learning, you can never fail. And so that cleared away a lot of my fears and brought in a lot of joy in just becoming a sponge with knowledge and all the gems that were presenting itself in front of me that I didn't realize was happening. And since I've done that, my God, not just the amount of growth, but
the abundance.
Yes, the abundance, because now I have no resistance towards it. I have no ego around feeling like needing people to see me a certain way. So this growth mindset is such a big part in establishing your abundance mindset. It softens your mind. It's fixed minds are very rigid, right? It softens your mind so that it allows in all the guidance and the support and the love and the abundance that's trying to come in. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're not keeping it separate. You're not keeping it outside of yourself. You've removed that wall and are welcoming it in.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? I always say, life is the teacher, and life is the spiritual teacher, and you're the student.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the student. Life is the teacher. Life is the teacher, and I'm the student. So we're in a constant state of learning and learning and learning.
Mm-hmm.
As we're continuously letting go of all of the things that no longer serve us so that we can learn and remember how to, you know, create our lives in ways that really brings us that deep sense of joy and that deep sense of abundance that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that we are, that's natural for us, that if we just completely let go, then we can vibrate and emit a frequency of abundance. So that the light can be where that ease can happen, right?
Exactly. That ease is the key. And how you ease into the ease is by setting yourself up so that you can't fail. And how you do that is to let success be growth. Learning and growing is the proof of success.
Yeah.
That's validation that you are succeeding. And if that becomes your definition, then you're now fail-proof.
Yeah, I love that. Now, you're offering a free gift to our listeners today, and so they can contact you and get their free gift.
You can find me on my website, momoyasake.com, or you can find me on Instagram. Momo Juliet is my handle name. You can just message me directly. That's probably the fastest way. I'm giving away free soul discovery consults for anyone who might want to start working on their mindset, abundance mindset. They're 20-minute consults, so they're going out for free. So check it out.
Yeah, you can't miss on that. We're going to take a quick break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, Visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Sometimes when we're on the break, I always think that our breaks should be recorded because there's always such good juju and just naturalness. We were talking about how easy and how flowing our conversation is. And I hope that you too are feeling that, the listeners, and that you're inspired by this amazing flow that's being shared here today with this abundance of wisdom that is being shared with that Momo's bringing us. So we just have a few 10 minutes left, Momo, before we close out this segment. And so what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
I want to talk about what the practice actually looks like on a day-to-day. So you have an idea of what that looks like. And I think the biggest piece that people think when, you know, when you're trying to change your life or when you're trying to manifest something or when you're trying to bring more abundance into your life, whether that's your finances, your career, your, you know, if it's very specific, like you want more clients, we make it way more complex than it needs to be. It's actually super, super simple. The truth is always simple. And we complicate it by the how. And this is the takeaway that I want everyone to understand is the how isn't up to you. It never was and never will be. And the faster you can accept that, the faster you can get aligned with that and believe in that and, you know, get behind that, the easier your life is going to be, the easier everything is going to flow into place. The more room there will be for the cosmos to do the heavy lifting. That's not your job. The how is not your job. Your job is to follow the guidance. The breadcrumbs of the cosmos is putting in front of you and to take action on it from an inspired space and making sure that you only take that action when you are inspired, because that is the exact timing that you're supposed to do it at. That is the exact time when the exact person that you need to talk to is going to give you the exact message that you need to be inspired for you to take that next action that you need. Our job, our sole job, and this is the simplest truth and it sounds too easy, but our only job is to be in alignment, which is to be in our bliss, in our joy, in our inspiration, in our place of feeling good. That is our only job. So we have to allow the space to open up for the guidance to come in, allow the joy, yourself to feel the joy, so that the how is taken care of and all you have to do is listen to the guidance. The biggest piece here is I think most people, this was me for a very long time, is you forget what it's like to be in joy. You've lived out of that alignment for so long Imagine being, you know, living a life without that joy for, you know, 40 years, 50 years, even. Imagine what it feels like to feel that again. It's not something that's hardwired in you anymore. You've derailed that wiring into a normalcy of not feeling good. So it's going to take some time to build that muscle up, and that's okay. When you work out, you're not going to all of a sudden be able to do 20 push-ups. Like, that's asking for too much. That's like asking a baby to start walking. It has to grovel a little bit and then crawl and then maybe start wobbling to a stand and then start walking. So it's the same thing with this in learning how to know what it feels like to be in joy. So the first piece is to, how do you get yourself into alignment? To know what it feels like to be in joy. And kind of stew in that for a little bit. And we talk, Abraham Hicks, the person who basically talks about law of attraction, who's invented, no, not invented, has translated law of attraction so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Abraham Hicks talks about you have to build momentum first, right? If there's so much momentum going in the direction of the negativity, of the bad thoughts, of like hopelessness and victimhood, it's going to be 10 times harder to pull yourself out of that into a positive state, because you're going from, you know, negative 20 to like 150. That's a huge jump that you're trying to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, it can happen, but you're making it harder on yourself than you need to. So the first thing you need to do to get yourself is to get yourself in, to let that go. If you're going in the wrong momentum, you have to disengage, right? You let it go.
You drop the water bottle.
You drop the water bottle, and then you pick up your magic wand, and then you start building the momentum in the other direction, which is usually, if the topic is money, and that's what's giving you grief, you need to let go of that topic. You need to think about something else, because that thinking about money is not going to help you create the momentum in the right direction. You're going to go right back to negative 20, very, like in a second.
Yeah, no
kidding. Very easy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to disengage and engage in something that's easy for you to build positive momentum. That could be your husband, or that actually may not be. That might be charge two. It could be, you know, it could be the ocean right in front of you. It could be the home that you live in. It could be as simple as this chocolate cake that you're eating. It could be very simple. Or the pillow that you wake up in. It's just so yummy. It could be something really simple. It just has to be a topic that's not charged. So you can start building the momentum in the right direction. And once you get used to being in that space, then dabble with thinking about finances again. You know,
that's good. That's really good advice.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's where your way of easing your way into chipping away at that topic that throws you off balance, right? Mm-hmm. But when you are thrown off balance, when you are out of alignment, that's actually the time that's most exciting, because then you get to now go back into alignment. Being in alignment is great. It feels amazing. But if you didn't ever go out of it, you kind of lose the, like, you don't know what good is unless you know what bad is, right?
Yeah.
So when you're in that not aligned place, now you have the chance and the opportunity to go back in. Now that's freaking exciting. It's like, yeah, when that cake isn't in front of you and you don't have that cake, then you get to actually make cake. Then you actually get to go into the cake and eat it, right? But you have to build that momentum first to be able to get back in.
Yeah.
And the goal isn't to always stay there.
You have to choose it.
Totally. It first comes with a decision. And the point is, and Abraham talks about this all the time, the most important step is that you fall out.
I love that.
Yeah. She always says that's the most important step. Because mm-hmm. if you don't fall out, you can't go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And she also talks about you only have to hold a thought that and create that joy space for 17 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not very long. You know, no. You have to build that momentum, keep building that momentum, and then have that thought and going, oh my God, it already happened, and then let it go. And then your only job is to stay in that joy. And it doesn't have, you don't even have to be thinking about it. You can be thinking about something else. You can be surfing for all that matters. And a client will come contact you because you have already asked for it and the momentum is already built.
Yeah, I love that. I love, let's recap our time today. So
absolutely.
Go for it.
So getting out of victimhood. Mm-hmm. How important that is, how that then allows you to hold that magic wand for your own life. And then second, knowing how to disengage with the lower vibrating thoughts, beliefs, actions. You got to drop that water bottle. You can't just look away. You got to let it go. And then being able to start embodying it by finding the joy in learning. Learning and growing is now equivalent to your success. That way you're now fail-proof. You cannot fail. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, knowing that the most important part of this whole process is when you fall out of alignment, when you make that mistake, when you feel like you failed. That's actually the biggest time you get to learn. That's when you get all the gems that you've ever wanted. That's your opportunity to grow. So that kind of is the gist of everything.
Free consults are at?
At momoyasutake.com. And my handle name for my IG, you can message me directly at momojuliet. It's probably the faster way because I'm on that thing all the time. Confession. If you're ready to step your mindset in abundance to start flowing to the next level, hit me up. I'm here.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Momo, so much for everything. Bye. We'll see you next time on the Millionaire Imprint for Women. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.